call the McLean County Board to order. I have never had to use the gavel before. I don't intend to start now. We'll call the McLean County Board to order, please. Invocation by Member Gordon, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
We thank you, O our Creator, for the many gifts which you have chosen to bestow upon us, for life and health, for home and love and friendship, for the bounty of the earth, in this place and in so many other places in this nation and around the globe. Be with those whose lives are troubled. Be also with those whose health is fragile. Grant them health, renewed strength, speedily, that they may once again be with those of us who are blessed with health. We ask your guidance in this council this morning. May we proceed with wisdom and judgment, with compassion. Help us to fulfill the trust of our fellow citizens who have elected us to serve them in their interest. May this be thy will. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Segoviano.
Here.
Selzer. Sweeney. Ahart.
Present.
Baggett. Bostic.
Here.
Butler.
Here.
Casely.
Here.
Cavallini.
Here.
Clark.
Here.
Dean.
Present.
Gordon.
Here.
Harding.
Here.
Hosselton.
Here.
Oh, I see him. Moss.
Present.
Knuckles. Owens.
Present.
Rakowskis.
Here.
Renner.
Here.
Sorensen.
Present. 16 members present. We have a quorum. We have a request from a member of the public, Mr. Mike Matika, the president of the Board of Directors of the McLean County Museum of History, and Mr. Greg Coos, director of the McLean County Museum of History. Please come to the podium.
Thank you, Chairman Sorensen. And we just asked to come up here today to say thank you and to share some good news with you. As you know, we have a wonderful relationship between McLean County and McLean County Historical Society as you maintain the old courthouse building with the wonderful updating and renovation that's going on now, the dome project that was done 2 years ago that won national awards, beautiful, beautiful things. Our job as McLean County Historical Society is to take care of the inside, to make sure there are good exhibits, programs, activities there. And we wanted to share with you the news that we've been nationally reaccredited with the American Association of Museums.
Great.
Now, that may not sound like much of anything, but it took us 2 years to do this. This is our third accreditation. There are 17,000 museums in the United States. 700 of them are accredited. There are only 20 accredited museums in the state of Illinois, and we were the first county historical society in the state of Illinois to get national accreditation. So we just wanted to come and say thank you. Thank you to Mike Sweeney for being on our board. Thank you to John and your building staffs and everybody for the wonderful, wonderful partnership that we hope can continue for many, many years. And we very much appreciate the county's commitment to a very historic building, keeping that building looking good, keeping it vital, keeping it up to date so that we can continue to raise the funds privately then to do good things for the community on the inside. So very briefly, though, just a Thank you very much for your long-term support and commitment. We'll take any questions if anybody's got any. And, you know, Greg is our director. Everybody knows Greg in town, and he does a wonderful job of representing McLean County's story to the public. Yeah.
How long is the accreditation good for?
10 years. So this is our third accreditation. And actually, if you had seen the stack of paper that we had to send and then resend to Washington, D.C., to do this. But they take the place apart, and they want to know what our programming is, what our archival methods are, what the building maintenance is. They want a complete dossier on the place. And then it's analyzed by other museum people to make sure we're meeting the standards. And Jack has been great, too, in terms of working with us on building activities.
Are there any other questions, Mr. Dean?
Just a comment. As a member of the property committee, Diane Bostick provides great leadership for that, and we're committed to seeing this building maintained. And I was in DeWitt County recently, and if any of you have been there, there's no county courthouse there, and it's a huge void for that county square there. So we appreciate your efforts.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda or items to be removed? Motion Segubiano, second Kaisley to approve the consent agenda as presented. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Yep. I'd now like to invite Member Cavallini to the podium to make a presentation of resolution.
I would like to invite the young ladies from Lexington to come up here, please, along with their coaches. By way of introduction and a little background, I'd like to share with everyone the short paragraph that appeared in the Lexington Town Crier, which is a publication of the City Council and comes out once a month with my water bill. In this publication, there is a photograph of the Lexington volleyball team, and it says, "Congratulations, 8th grade girls volleyball team. Congratulations to the 8th grade volleyball team for bringing home the first place state championship trophy." And there's an exclamation mark by that. "The Minutemen defeated previously unbeaten Decatur Holy Father 25-22, 25-16 in the championship match at Central Catholic High School. My wife and I had the opportunity, girls, to be in attendance that evening, and I can tell you, you kept us at the edge of our seats. Now, for two reasons. One, we got there a little late and we were lucky to get a seat. But secondly, once we got the seat, your play, your performance was absolutely outstanding. We were thrilled to be able to witness the professionalism of your play. Congratulations for a job very well done. It is now my privilege to present this resolution, and I'd like to invite the adults who made this also a reality. Starting off with Julie Thomas. Julie, would you come up here? Oh, there she is right here. Okay. And then Al Schrader, Nikki Frank, and our athletic director, Sean Berry. Also, I've learned this morning, who is principal in waiting. Here's the resolution. It reads as follows. Whereas the McLean County Board wishes to recognize the outstanding performance by the student athletes and the coaches of the Lexington Junior High School 8th grade girls volleyball team during the 2008 volleyball season. And whereas the Lexington Junior High School 8th grade girls volleyball team finished the 2008 season with an overall season record of 24 tournament wins and 2 tournament losses. And whereas the Lexington Junior High School 8th grade girls volleyball team won the Illinois Elementary School Association, IESA, 8th grade volleyball class 2A state championship, and whereas It is appropriate and fitting for the McLean County Board to recognize and congratulate head volleyball coach Julie Thomas, assistant coaches Nikki Frank and Al Schrader, manager Amanda Saltzman, and team members Taylor Winterland, Kaylee Ummel, Sydney Freed, Kelsey Heinzman, Ashley Grass, Anessa Anderson, Caitlin Kelly, Nikki Caldwell, Maggie Hayes, Laura Miller, Bridget Sims, Taylor Leak, and Amanda Leak. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the members of the McLean County Board that the student athletes and coaching staff of the Lexington Junior High School 8th grade girls volleyball team are to be congratulated on winning the IESA 8th grade volleyball class 2A state championship and on its outstanding season, adopted by the McLean County Board this 15th day of April, 2008, signed by Peggy Ann Milton, clerk of the McLean County Board, and Matt Sorensen, chairman of the McLean County Board. Congratulations.
We'd like to thank you for giving us this opportunity to get out of school. The girls were very excited about that. We have a little morning of breakfast planned after the meeting. So we want to thank you for this opportunity. It was really a fun, memorable season for the adults and the girls, and we were able to have many of our community members there. As Don said, we played at Central Catholic, which is very close to our own backyard, and it was a great opportunity to just represent Lexington and to represent McLean County. So once again, we would like to thank you for giving us this opportunity to come before you. Thank you.
Standing Committees, Executive Committee, Member Bostic.
Mr. Chairman and Board, I bring four items for action this morning. The first is a request approval of an intergovernmental agreement by and between the City of Bloomington, the Town of Normal, and McLean County for funding the Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial Commission of McLean County through the County Administrator's Office, and I so move.
Motion Bostic, second Harding. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
My second item is a request approval of a resolution to amend the rules of the County Board, McLean County Rules Subcommittee, and I so move.
Motion Bostic, second Owens. Question, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
My third item is a request approval of a resolution adopting 2008 legislative subcommittee recommendations, and I so move.
We have a motion Bostic, second Gordon. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
And my fourth item is a recommend approval of the appointment to the Bloomington Normal Airport Authority to replace Mr. Stephen Wanamaker, and our nominee is Mr. Kurt Bach. And I so move.
Motion Bostic, second Dean. Questions, comments, or discussion? I'll simply add, I was very excited with the feedback that I received from the members of the board. Had a lot of good positive input and positive things about all three of the nominees, but Mr. Bach was certainly the overwhelming support for the board members came to Mr. Bach. So I appreciate everybody's input on that. And, of course, at your places, we've distributed a letter of thanks and recognition for Mr. Wanamaker as well, who served the county and the airport authority well. Very good. We have a motion, Bostic Dean, to approve Mr. Bach. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Mr. Chairman, our general report and the minutes of the Rules Subcommittee, the Legislative Subcommittee, and the minutes of the Airport Authority run from page 46 through page 81, and I thank you.
Great. Are there any questions for the Executive Committee? None heard. Land Use and Development Committee, Chairman Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Land Use and Development Committee brings one item for action this morning, request approval of a resolution recommending that the McLean County zoning ordinance be amended pursuant to 55 ILCS 5/5-1092, found on pages 84, 85 of your packets, and I so move.
Motion Gordon, second Ahart. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Our general report is found on pages 86 through 92.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Chairman Gordon? Unheard. Property Committee, Chairman Bostic.
Mr. Chairman, Property Committee brings no items for action, but our general report is found on page 93 through 99.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Chairman Bostic? Transportation Committee, Chairman Hosselton.
Items to for the committee. Request approval of the Illinois Transportation Enhancement Program, the historic Route 66 bike path. This is a grant application only. The previous board in 1999 approved this, and so I move that we submit the application.
So motion Hosselton, second Owens. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Item B is the approval of East Side Highway Study, the context-sensitive solution. As this is a new program, it's run over in the estimated cost. And I would move to approve both the engineering agreement and the IDOT federal aid agreement. Totals, I think, $128,000. No additional local funds are needed, for this is going to be using additional federal STU funds, as I understand it. And I so move.
The motion, Hosselton, second. Dean, questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Oh.
No, Mr. Moss.
Item C, we request approval of a resolution and letting results from the March 20th, 08, the county and township MFT maintenance sections. Let me see what I got there. This is a request for county and the townships. And right now, IDOT, as I understand it, the result of this coming back requires all contractors to provide a certified apprentice and training program for their workers. The result of the protest, whether it will be upheld or not, has not come back from IDOT. Therefore, we need to make our award based on a IDOT approval. Should the IDOT not approve it, we will have to meet with the road commissioner to decide if we will relet the projects or let it go to second bidders. And I so move.
We have a motion, Hosselton, second, Casely. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Request for approval of bridge construction at Downs Township. Where a culvert is washed out due to the heavy rains. The county share of the project would be $9,000, with Township paying the other $9,000. And I so move.
We have a motion, Hosselton, second, Harding. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Well, I have a request for approval of the names for the county engineer. Do we want to bring that up at this time?
Yeah.
Okay, where's my... at the stand-up, the Transportation Committee voted unanimously to approve a resolution certifying the name of the Assistant County Highway Engineer, Mr. Eric Smith, to take the state exam qualification to be appointed as the county engineer. Eric has 10 years' experience in this area of engineering. I move that we submit his name.
Motion Hosselton, second Dean. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
We have other items to be be presented for information only on 163 to 172. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Chairman Hosselton or the Transportation Committee? None heard. Finance Committee, Vice Chairman Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have several items for action this morning. Items E1A is a request approval of an amendment number one to the non-metro area transportation operating capital and administrative assistance grant agreement for ShowBus to obtain an additional $43,674 from the Illinois Department of Transportation and Building and Zoning Department, and I so move.
Motion, Owen, second, Cavallini. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thank you. E1B is a request approval of an ordinance of the McLean County Board amending the 2008 Combined Appropriations and Budget Ordinance for Fund 0102, the Early Childhood Dental Caries Planning Grant in the Health Department, and I so move.
Motion, Owens, second, Gordon. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
E1C is request approval of a resolution amending the fiscal year 2008 McLean County full-time equivalent position resolution associated with ordinance to amend the fiscal year 2008 McLean County ordinance appropriations and budget ordinance for Fund 0102, Early Childhood Caries Planning Grant in the Health Department, and I so move.
Motion Owens, second Harding. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Thank you. E1D is a request approval of an ordinance of the McLean County Board amending the 2008 Combined Appropriation and Budget Ordinance for Fund 0107 STD Prevention Grant in the Health Department, and I so move.
Motion Owens, second Kaisley. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thank you. E1E is a request approval of resolution amending the fiscal year 2008 McLean County full-time equivalent position resolution associated with an ordinance to amend the fiscal year 2008 McLean County combined appropriation and budget ordinance for Fund 0107 STD Prevention Grant in the Health Department, and I so move.
Motion Owens, second Cavallini. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
E1F is a request approval of an ordinance of the McLean County Board amending the 2008 Combined Appropriations and Budget Ordinance for Fund 0107 MRC Grant in the Health Department, and I so move.
Motion Owens, second Renner. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
E1H is a request approval of collective bargaining agreement by and between the McLean County Board and American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Council 31, AFL-CIO, on behalf of AFSCME Local 537 in the Highway Department. And if there's any discussion, we'll need to go into executive session, but I so move.
We have a motion, Owens, second, Bostic. Question, comments, or discussion? As Vice Chairman Owens mentioned, if we have to talk about the agreement, we'll go into executive session. If not, we'll just vote on it and go. So is there any discussion? None heard. All those in favor of the agreement as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thank you. Our general report is found on pages 188 of one and 198 in your packet. And unless there's any other questions, that's our report.
Are there any questions for Vice Chairman Owens or the Finance Committee? None heard. Justice Committee, Chairman Renner.
The Justice Committee brings several items for action. Item F1A is request approval of an emergency appropriation ordinance amending the McLean County fiscal year 2008 combined annual appropriation and budget ordinance in the Circuit Clerk document Storage Fund 0142, and I so move it.
Motion Renner, second Cavallini. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And item F1B is request approval of a multi-jurisdictional narcotics unit supplemental equipment grant for the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority for $30,195 in the Sheriff's Department, and I so move that.
Motion Renner, second Moss. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And item F1C is request approval for an amendment, addendum to the Justice Benefits Contract to seek Title IV E administrative claims funds for McLean County and Court Services, and I so move it.
I have a motion, Renner, second, Harding. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And item F1D, I'd like to move it and then make some comments if I could. Request approval of an ordinance by the McLean County Board setting a $15 fee to be charged to the McLean County Circuit Clerk for the Child Advocacy Center in the Child Advocacy Center, and I so move it.
We have a motion, Renner, second, Bostick. Chairman Renner.
Just to clarify, we, for many, many years, Ms. Larkin, who's in the audience with us today, would come to the Justice Committee and ask, or she'd tell us what's going on, and we'd say, what can we do to help? And the reality was there wasn't much we could do to help, because in 1994, with the referendum establishing the Child Advocacy Center as an agency in McLean County, we were already at the legal maximum. And they've always been very tight in terms of their funding. Even if the property tax levy would go up 4% or so, they would have health care costs and other things that would, you know, increase. And so they've had TIPAVIP that many of us here have participated in. In fact, Adam Nielsen and I, as I mentioned, 2 years in a row had to sing Barney in front of 100 and some people. So we did what we could to help them to try to keep their budget afloat. But actually, it's Ms. Larkin, who's now the head of Illinois Child Advocacy Centers, and our own John Zunick, who led the charge to give some additional fiscal flexibility, some additional tools. And as has been mentioned in the some of the discussion and questions by Member Casely and Executive, this is not an ideal tool. But as a local government in McLean County, in Illinois, we're left with the tools that the state of Illinois gives us to, as we know, handle our public services. And so what this particular legislation that I'd like Mr. Zunick just to clarify, as he did in exec, and how he and Ms. Larkin came to be the innovators of this, got passed, it allows us to levy between $5 and $30. And we did look at DuPage, which immediately went with $30, but we looked more closely at our immediate neighbors. Tazewell is $20, Woodford is $20, and actually DeWitt is $15. And actually we wound up with considerable discussions. There was some, definitely some sentiment on justice to go higher in order, frankly, to get unanimous consent. We went with the $15 fee, and actually since we met in justice, my understanding is there's at least one additional further budget cut reduction that DCFS has announced. So this was to generate a little over $70,000, again with a 60% pay rate, and so that's what we were, that was the background of it. And John, if you could add perhaps just your discussion of how and why you and Ms. Larkin got to be the great innovators in Illinois.
Well, I don't know that would classify us as the great innovators, but what happened was 2 years ago, in the midst of the funding crisis that all children's advocacy centers in Illinois were experiencing, Ms. Larkin hosted a meeting in McLean County at the McLean County Children's Advocacy Center and invited directors from all over the state of Illinois, as well as legislators, to attend this meeting to talk to them about the problems that they were experiencing, both with continued reduction in grant funding and limits on ability to generate revenue. And at that meeting, as the discussion went around the table, I made a comment to the legislators who were present, could you at least give us the flexibility, go in and amend the state law to give children's advocacy centers like McLean County, who are already at the maximum rate, which is 0.4 cents, give us the flexibility to go back to referenda and see if the voters would agree to increase the rate. And at that time, and I don't think the sentiment has changed much in Springfield, the sentiment of the legislators who were present was that was unacceptable. That was a property tax increase, and property tax increases are just not a good idea as far as elected representatives are concerned. So at that time, both in McLean County and in a number of other counties across the state, through an initiative that actually Metro County supported, we had just enacted a drug court fee to fund the operation of our new drug court. And I proposed to the CAC directors and to the legislators, what if we modeled a CAC fee after the drug court fee? What if we took the same piece of legislation and went in and tried to create a fee that would be dedicated to support children's advocacy centers? And surprisingly enough, the legislators did not resist that. They were at least willing to look at that. So working with Ms. Larkin and a number of other CACs and their legislative staff in Springfield and with Metro Counties, we crafted a bill. The initial bill was introduced by a senator from Kane County and supported by senators and representatives from the collar counties. And initially, as written, in terms of what we submitted to them, we tried to link the cases in the court that are somehow tied to the services that are provided by the Children's Advocacy Center. So the initial draft bill that we came up with was much narrower than what ended up being introduced in the legislature and actually being passed and signed into law by the governor. And what happened was, as the bill was finally drafted by the Legislative Reference Bureau and introduced, it was modeled exactly after the earlier bill for the drug court, in terms of it opened it up to the fee being levied on all of the misdemeanor, felony, petty offense cases. That bill, with support from Metro Counties and the Children's Advocacy Centers in Illinois, made it through both the House and the Senate and was signed into law by the governor. So that gives us, for the first time, the flexibility to look at some other stream of revenue to support the Children's Advocacy Centers, which is not dependent on grant funding, bake sales, or tip of VIP. As Chairman Renner indicated, in discussing this with Will Scanlon, the trial court administrator, and Chief Judge Robb, it's clear that we will not collect 100% of what fees are levied in the court. There's an estimated collection rate of about 60%. If that's the case, then a $15 fee would generate between $70,000 and $72,000, which would plug the gap that we are currently projecting in the reduction in grant revenue from both the Department of Children and Family Services and the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that any member might have at this time.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Kaisley.
I think that the Children's Advocacy Center does a great job, and I think that the protection of our children is definitely a responsibility of government. But I don't think that this is the proper way of paying for it. If you take a look at page 251 of your county board packet, you will see what a $15 fee would generate and what a $5 fee and a $30 fee would generate. That it assumes that we're going to collect all of the fees that are levied in this county. And that is a faulty assumption. We're only going to get, if we are collecting at the present rate, according to Will Scanlon, our circuit court administrator, we're only going to get 60% roughly, and it's an unstable source of revenue to fund a very vital service. So I think that this should be resisted on that grounds alone. And secondly, I think that, you know, drip, 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 and pretty soon you have a bucketful. Well, that's what we have with respect to court costs. We have court costs that are simply out of control. We have court costs that greatly exceed the amount of fines in cases. And who is paying this? Well, if you look around, it's not the criminal element in the community that's paying it, unless you define the criminal element to include the teenager who's out after curfew, or somebody that's walking against a walk light downtown in Bloomington, or somebody that floats a bad check, or something like that. It's all of us. And it seems to me that it's unfair to put the cost of the Children's Advocacy Center strictly on those who have been convicted of a criminal offense. Furthermore, it provides a disincentive for people to plead not guilty to cases where they think that they truly are not guilty. And I don't think that justice should be weighted based upon the huge amount of fees that are going to be levied if you're convicted. It rather should be done on the basis of the facts of the case, and I think that the cost, the gamble of going to trial and losing and getting all of these fees put on is weighing heavily on the side of conviction in criminal cases. And I would point out, I did get the circuit clerk's manual on fees today, and this is a compilation of all of the fees that the circuit clerk's office has to collect. Now, if you want to add another page to that, I think that we can do it. We've already done it once this year. We've already been to the well once with a fee for the nursery over at the Law and Justice Center, and it's a good program, but it's added another $5 fee to the mix. In addition, we have another one that's waiting in the wings, and that is the neutral ground children's custody and visitation fee that's probably going to be proposed soon. And the question is, how many fees can you levy on people, and at what point do you say enough is enough? And I think that we have reached that point. I think that this should be funded by tax dollars rather than upon fees, and therefore I move that we send this back to the Justice Committee to consider another stream of revenue.
Eric, technically that's a motion to table to the back to the committee, or refer. Hey, we have a motion to refer back to Justice Committee. Excuse me, is there a second for that motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll second that for discussion.
Motion, second, Segoviano.
Well, I think the judge brings up some very valid points, and I too think it's I support the program, I support us funding it. And I would ask the judge, does he have any alternative recommendations for providing funds for this program?
Other discussion on the current motion on the floor, which is a motion to refer back to Justice. Member Casely?
The current levy is 0.004, which is the maximum that can be levied for this special fund to support children's advocacy centers. And we are already levying at the maximum. The alternative, it seems to me, would be to limit the offenses for which the fee would be levied to those which relate to the protection of children, offenses against children, or to put this on the agenda to appropriate money from the general fund next year to pay for the protection of our children. And I think that's a legitimate government function.
All right, discussion on topic. Renner?
Just to the first option, I'm not sure that we have the authority as a non-home rule community. Again, it gets back to the central point. No matter what we are left with in terms of fiscal tools, they're not fair because we're, again, a non-home rule local government, and we're to some degree or to a large degree at the mercy of what Springfield gives us in terms of fiscal tools. So even in the other option is we could raise our own taxes, or we could take money out of our general fund to try to fund this. But then, of course, there are inequities associated with property taxes as well. So again, we're not really left with a clear tool. Again, I would speak in favor of funding this in the same way we funded our drug court, as an imperfect mechanism.
All right, still debating the motion to refer back to Justice. Other questions, comes member
just one more question, Mr. Chairman. Did I understand that then, we do not have the option to limit this to offenses against children? We do not.
This question, as you recall, came up at executive, and obviously I would, not being an attorney, I'm not going to defer to the judge or the state's attorney, but it seems like this is the classic question that was debated time and time again when Bill Lawrence was on the board, and it goes back to the basic issue of Dillon's rule. As a non-home rule county, we only have those powers that are granted to us by the state. The state law is very clear that says a county board may enact a fee of between $5 and $30 by ordinance, and that fee shall be collected on the following cases. And the state law lists the cases that the fee can be collected on. I'm not sure that as a non-home rule county, and again following on Dillon's rule, that we have the authority to pick and choose which cases we can levy the fee on. I think the enabling legislation that was passed by the General Assembly and signed into law by the governor is pretty clear as to what cases the fee will be levied on upon conviction or order of supervision.
So, John, I'm not sure. So does that mean it's all in, it's all conclusive? That mean it has to be levied against all fines?
Eric?
Yeah, first of all, on behalf of Mr. Yoder, who had another commitment and had to leave early, he wanted me to convey the complete and total support of the McLean County State's Attorney's Office for the $15 fee. But to answer your question, the law is very clear. If you're going to assess a mandatory fee, it will apply to that complete list of criminal cases, which unfortunately we don't have the list in front of us, but I believe it is fairly extensive. And as a non-home rule unit of local government subject to Dillon's rule, we cannot pick and choose which offenses it would apply to.
Member Casely.
I believe that we have received a grant of power from the General Assembly to levy fees on these particular categories of cases, felonies, misdemeanors, and petty offenses, which include traffic offenses, by the way. And I think that we are not exceeding our power if we choose to use our power in a more limited fashion by choosing certain categories of cases within those particular types of cases. I think we could do that.
Member Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question and a comment. This being a fee, I'm assuming that down the road, if we enact this, that we can retract this at any time with a motion to retract this? Or is this pretty much set in stone, we can never retract it?
I think all fees that we impose, we can take back.
So it can't
we can have do-overs on it.
Okay. Right? Okay, yeah. On the comment of motion to send it back to justice and the time that I served on justice, and I think the members on justice now and the staff, this has always been, when it comes down to funding, was always one department that always has problems with funding, and it's a very difficult job to be in. And the cases that they hear and they see, the children they see. I just don't see right at this point how sending it back would do any good, because justice, I know, has banged our heads against the wall in years past of trying to help fund and trying to find fund for this department to meet the needs. The staff has come, the legislature who has given us the authority to do this, it's not at full fee, and staff has come asking us for this to help fund, and I'd say at this time that sending it back would not do any good, and that maybe in the future, in this year, that the Justice Committee, along with Finance and with John Zunick, that maybe we can try a little bit harder again this year to look at this and see where, if any, funds can be appropriated. And again, right now, it's if short term, I'd say, you know, and this is something that we can retract. So let's just go ahead and put forth this fee. And again, the judge is absolutely right. You know, when's enough? But I think right now that we need to do this, and that sending it back to justice,
I don't think would do any different than what has come forward already.
Member Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I ask Mr. Zunick or Mr. Rood or both to state what the exact language is of the authorization by the state legislature? This has been referred to this morning as a mandatory fee. I wonder, in keeping with what Member Casely has suggested, I wonder if we do have any wiggle room. It seems to me that the state authorization might be interpreted. I don't want to turn this into a law school forum like Mr. Zunick. I'm not an attorney either. But I wonder if that can be interpreted as the most that a non-home rule county might do. Because if that's the interpretation, then Mr. Member Casely's suggestion might have some merit, at least worth looking at further. I'm not saying it does. I'm not saying it doesn't. But the language of the statute passed in Springfield would have something to do with that.
To answer your question, Member Gordon, on the bottom of page 259 in your agenda packet, the underscored paragraph is the specific enabling legislation. In each county in which a children's advocacy center provides services, the county board may adopt a mandatory fee of between $5 and $30 to be paid by the defendant on a judgment of guilty or a grant of supervision under section 5-9-1 of the Unified Code of Corrections for a felony, for a Class A, Class B, or Class C misdemeanor, for a petty offense, and for a business offense. Assessments shall be collected by the clerk of the circuit court, must be deposited into an account specifically for the operation and administration of the Children's Advocacy Center.
If I could add, the word "and" is in there, which suggests inclusive as opposed to exclusive. And of course, Judge, we may disagree, but I think you have to include all of those together. I'm not sure we do have the wiggle room.
The language doesn't say any, the language doesn't, includes no reference to.
In other words,
up to.
I don't think we can just pick and choose which offenses we want the fee to apply to.
Thank you.
That's my reading. That's my interpretation, for what it's worth.
I am working down a list of speakers. I'm on Harding.
Thank you. Always nice to be on a list. I have to totally agree with Member Owens. For as long as I've been on the county board, I've been on this committee. And from my first meeting of Billy and listening to their numbers and their staffing and all these years seeing the growing numbers and no money and always walking away saying, God, I can't do anything to help this woman. I can't do nothing to help this staff. Finally, after all these years, something appears for us to be able to help them. And in our meeting, we were so happy to finally have something fall out of the sky for us to help these people. We would have liked to have given him $30, but we knew that would never pass. So we went with the $15, and it seems to me that if there is a possibility for a do-over, this could be a Band-Aid, a short-term Band-Aid, and we could get to the point to make everybody happy and satisfied, yet still support these people in their work. The bigger question for another time is, why are we only collecting 60% of these fees? What's happening? Why are these people getting away with not paying the full ride here? That's another question for another time. But I think if it goes back to justice, we have been so depressed about not being able to help them that this is going to come right back to you with the same recommendation.
Member Cavallini.
The alternative to the fees would be probably having an unlimited number of bake sales and having Member Renner sing another few choruses of Barney.
You don't want that.
I sat through the discussion, and I know that the staff brought in a proposal for a $10 fee, and I think we surprised staff when we, as a committee, raised it to $15, trying to find a happy medium. And I would concur with Judge Kaisley. This is not certainly an ideal solution here, but it beats having bake sales.
Member Rakowskis.
Yes, I'm actually the person who made the motion to go from 10 to 15. And the reason being is it is not fair to this department that they must run their entire department except for the top two positions from year to year with unanticipated amount of grant money. That's just not how you can run a department. If you think of running even your own business or your own household, and people said, well, it just depends if Aunt Jody dies and leaves an inheritance, because that's pretty much what a grant does. You don't know from year to year. You can't do long-term planning. You can't even do short-term planning. Not only that, when people have to work so hard to get their funding, it's a great distraction to their work. We are understaffed in this department. These people are overworked, underpaid to begin with, and now you tell them to go find money. I appreciate what you're saying, Judge. However, that would take an enormous amount of time before maybe we can get to that point. In the meantime, we have to look after this department. And if we have to take money from people who committed crimes, I'd rather do that. It may give out a message, crime doesn't pay in this community. We are only putting the fee on those people who are found guilty. They took from our community when they were found guilty. It costs you and I and everyone else in this room who are taxpayers money when they go through the court system. The fees that we collect don't even begin to cover what it costs us as taxpayers to run our entire justice system here. So I don't feel, or should I be felt guilt, that we are making people who have committed crimes of whatever nature in our community to have to pay back and give back. I'd rather have them give back in a positive manner, and this is positive. Thank you.
Segubiano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I second this motion for discussion, and we've gotten plenty of that. But I'm just simply going to offer a suggestion, you know, and in regards to Mr. Ben's comments, you know, I think as a board, we appreciate the work of all the committees and their efforts put forth. However, when it comes to the full board, that's time for full discussion, and that's what we had here, and it's been very beneficial. I'm just going to suggest, you know, that we move on, we pass this motion that's on the floor, not send it back, but to pass the motion that came from committee. However, we have not received a very definitive answer as to whether we can or we cannot. So what we need to do is move on, pass the fee that's been recommended, but have the Justice Committee look into if there is a possibility that we can single out these crimes against children. And I would be all in favor, and I'd be the first one to vote for a $30 fee in regards to that crime against children.
All right, we have a motion on the floor to send this back to Justice. Is there any other discussion on that motion? If not, I'll call the question. A yay vote is to send this back to Justice. A no vote is to revert to the primary motion. All those in favor of sending this back to Justice, please signify by voting aye.
Aye.
Do you wish to be recorded? Ayes, I guess we have to roll call it then. All right, the motion fails. We are reverting to the primary motion, which was a Renner-Bostick motion to approve the recommendation that came from the Justice Committee. Is there further discussion on that motion? Member Moss.
I think I would just like to take a stab at addressing the issue that Member Harding brought up. I don't think we're talking about people getting a free ride. I think you have to stop and think about the kinds of people who find themselves in a court of law. It's not people like us who can afford to pay all the fines and the fees. It's the people who find themselves in court pretty much penniless and unable to pay not only the fees and all the extra dollars added on, the fines themselves imposed by the courts. I think we have to keep that in mind.
Other questions, comments, or discussion on the primary motion? None heard. I'm sorry, Member Kaisley.
I would say that the state's attorney's office does a gallant job of trying to cite people into court to enforce the payment of fines and fees. You can issue rules to show cause till you're blue in the face, but some people are never going to be able to pay. They simply cannot do it. It's getting blood out of a turnip again. You know, you can't do it, and that's the way it is. These people simply lack a capacity to earn sufficient money to pay the fines and fees that are levied on them.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign?
No.
Recorded.
We have another item. Item F1E, request approval of State of Illinois Department of Human Services, Services Community Services Agreement for fiscal year 2008 in court services, and I so move that.
We have a motion, Renner, second, Gordon. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And we have a general report found on pages 278 to 288.
Are there any questions for Chairman Renner or the Justice Committee? None heard. We have a report from the County Administrator. John?
Just one item of information. At the Executive Committee meeting last Tuesday, the Administrator's office was asked to develop a form that board members could use to recognize students like the Lexington Junior High 8th grade class or individuals, really anyone in the community who has accomplished or achieved something that this board would like to recognize. In your mailbox this morning, you'll find a draft of that. That's just a first draft. We would welcome comments and suggestions from board members as to how you might want to change that or what else you would like to have on it, and we'd hope to get this finalized and have it available for all the board members by next month's executive committee meeting. Thank you. Be happy to answer any other questions.
And the intent of that, and you'll see it when you see the form, is not necessarily to request resolutions to be presented only here at board meetings, but even just a process to get a resolution that members can, you know, take out to a school or deliver out in the community somewhere as well after being passed by the board. So are there any other business or communications for the McLean County Board? We have bills to pay totaling $4,978,841.42. Is there a motion to pay the bills? Motion Bostic, second Gordon. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. I will remind members that their statement of economic interest are due by May 1st to the County Clerk's Office if you have not already filed them. And we are adjourned until May 20th, 2008.